I mean, thanks, guys. Hey, just to qualify that, I don't know how you feel when, Sandra says, Tony brings a word. We've all brought words this morning from what God has done, and it's humbling to be able to come and speak from the Word of God. I want to also commend young Arlo, who spoke last week and actually read the reading. I'm going to read again today. It's the second part in Luke 2. And I just thought, as we're heading more and more into, as a church, into this understanding of generational ministry, intergenerational ministry, and what that looks like, I thought, isn't it amazing how language sort of sticks? Like, I called him young Arlo. Now, why do I call him young Arlo? I don't say, with respect, Neville. Old Neville's going to say something, or old Tony's going to say it. So one of the things that we've realised is that our language needs to probably be aware of if we really are talking, doing stuff more intergenerationally, not to see in any way condescending that someone is too young or too old or too whatever. And so feel free to chime in. Please let me know if I say anything, because if we want to lead into this, it's important. But we want to honour Arlo for what he did last week. And this was a real real offering that he brought, because it's not easy for him to read that. And so I'm going to sort of do a very poor imitation of what Arlo read last week. And it's look in your Bibles, please, in Luke 2. Luke chapter 2, you've got your Bibles with you. We're going to read from verse 8 to verse 16. A familiar passage, I'm sure. Luke 2 from 8 to 16. So I'll just read this out together. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Let's pray. Fathers, we do indeed turn again to your word, and we thank you for it, and we thank you for the way it will speak to us and the way it speaks to us always anew. As we consider this hymn that was written in obedience, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and the reference to this passage here, and we look at this, Father, speak to us again, as I say, anew, but also show us, Lord, what it is that our application, what it is that we would do, what our response would be at this time of Christmas. Amen. So, quick recap. Last week I spoke, this is sort of a message in two parts, and I spoke last week about the hymn, or the what was started off as a hymn, but has come to be known as the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And there were three sort of points I wanted to make, and the first I covered last week was the point of great terror, and that was in verse 9, it says, "The glory of the Lord shone, and they were greatly afraid." And understanding the original language talks about a mega, and the word in Greek is actually the word mega, greatly. Mega, we know what the word means, megaphobic phobia. They were incredibly afraid, and the language is about as terrorized as you can be. And I spoke last week of my terror of the dark, and that was something that was the only thing I could really relate, but was a regular thing until, embarrassed to say, about 23. Probably it was a deliverance or something, but man, the difference it made. So just know that feeling. And if you've ever been absolutely terrorized something, this was the most extreme version, because the angel that stood in front of him was big, not ugly, but big, and the presence was very clear. It wasn't sort of angels we've heard on high. I mentioned that last week. The angel stood in front of him, and the language was he set upon them. He confronted them. The word actually means almost attacked or assaulted. So it's very clear to the shepherds who they were dealing with. It's very clear the messenger, which is what angel means, the messenger was telling them, do not be afraid. And today I want to look at the opposite of that, the great joy, and also look at our the action, the response that we would make to this. It says here in verse 10, it says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Now, just setting the scene, these guys have had the biggest terror shock of their lives. They are the most terrorized they've ever been. And the angel, still standing and still probably terrorizing them with his presence just by being there, said, "Don't be afraid. I'm going to bring you good tidings of great joy." And the switch seems to occur, as we see later in the passage, as indeed in an excited way, they take what it is that they have been told and they go and see Jesus and go together to worship him. But I want to talk about this great joy. And we've heard a number of testimonies this morning as people have said, some of us have taken little things and some of us have taken big things, and we have taken them in our Christian life and we have been able to experience what it is that has happened. The result of God working in our lives is much more evidence than just a group of people that meet together. And whilst that's wonderful that we do that, it's a 24/7 thing. And as the start of this word joy, and I know I've said this before, and apologies if I've repeated myself, there's an order that happens there. The hymn that we've sung, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, has three verses. Actually, there are six verses that have been combined together. And later I want to finish with reading the last two verses, which talk about the response that we would make to this passage and the response we would make to this particular, in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards all men. Because joy comes in the order in which we do things. Now, I'm sorry to repeat this again. I've said this a number of times and also said this, particularly during the two Vision Sunday services, but I think it bears repeating that would we rather have a number of people looking out for us, or would we rather just have the one person? What's the order of the way in which we do things? In order to understand what the great joy is, and I know it's a little bit cliche, it spells J-O-Y, Jesus, other, and yourself. And the angels that brought the great tidings of great joy to the shepherds who were standing there indicated to them, as it was the first meeting, it could be, you could say, of the early church, where the disciples, or those first shepherds, were called to come and worship Jesus. That was the priority. That was the order. So when we come here, we come first and foremost to worship Jesus. And I'm sure many of us have had many different church experiences over the years, large, small, high, low, etc., etc., all the different flavors that we may have experienced. But I don't know that we've necessarily understood that even if we were just here alone, by ourselves, that that would still be church, because we have come first and foremost to worship Jesus. And could I suggest that's where true joy really starts? The great tidings, or the good tidings of great joy, begin when we come first to worship Jesus. That's the point of our worship. That's the focus of our worship. And that's the reason that we come. Now, I don't know that joy, the other way, it spells the word yod or something, etc., but it is completely upside down. If we do that, it doesn't make sense. The word doesn't even sound very good. And yet, dare I say that some of us find ourselves in that situation, which first of all has to be about myself and then others, and then maybe if there's anything left over, it's about Jesus. In order to truly experience again the great joy that is being experienced here or being expressed here, Jesus has to be first. Now, I know, once again, this is cliche to say this, etc., but I was thinking about this week, and just a little confession, because it was a two-parter, I had prepared more of it last week than this week, etc., I was able to focus on this one word, joy, and thinking about if it is really Jesus first, and all of our life is an act of worship, not just coming here, though this is very important, that we come here first for Jesus, how did it go this week? Am I acting out and living out this good tidings of great joy? Has Jesus been first this week? Now, I feel a little bit of fish in time coming up here as I look and consider where is this joy in my life that comes from putting Jesus first? How did it go? Now, it's a week leading to Christmas. It's my job to be a messenger, to tell people about Jesus. Should be very simple, right? And we've heard a number of testimonies where folk have stepped out of hard situations and put God first and put Jesus first and seen those examples at work. And could I encourage us that if my experience is anything to go by, the joy of putting Jesus first is a day-by-day effort, a day-by-day experience. We may have had times of great joy. We say, this has been real to me. This has been exciting to me. This has indeed been good tidings of great joy. But it sort of faded out over time. And you may remember, for those of you who were around when I talked to the two Vision Sundays, there were some certain factors that were crucial, not just interesting, but crucial in resilient faith long term. We'll talk more about the vision next year, but when we looked at those factors, the factors indicated the first thing for resilient faith for us long term was intimacy with Jesus. So it seems to be a win-win. If we first come, and we come here firstly to worship Jesus, and we understand what that intimacy with him is about, and that applies in the times that we are arguably here as well as not here through the week, that seems to be a key thing, a key understanding for lifelong faith resilience. And I wonder if for some of us during the time, we've got a week off next week as it were, but there's time as we continue over the holidays to consider, how is my relationship with Jesus? Do I even have one? Is it something that is on the way out? Is it something that needs to be worked on? My intimacy in my relationship with Jesus, I'm using the word my a lot here, I'm going to switch the word just a little, in a little more time, but an understanding that, if we're honest, how is my relationship with Jesus? Because if it's where it should be, and it's not with me, I'd have to say in this last week, things got busy, things weren't done that I thought should have been done. And I found myself, particularly with a credit card that didn't work again, after the third time again, justifiably letting the woman on the end of the phone know that I was not impressed. And I said to Sandra, I think you really better take the phone and explain to her my frustration, which was very obvious. And I thought, wouldn't it be terrible if it, now it wasn't the church credit card, I hasten to add, didn't have Beacon and Baptist there, but wouldn't it be terrible if on the screen Beacon and Baptist popped up if it was the church credit card and I had managed to forget that? Should I be any different talking to the particular person about my credit card when Christmas is coming and I need it, as we all do? I'm not sure if you've experienced this. Sometimes it's the weeks we are so determined to apply this stuff and say, no, this stuff, apply the word and say, Jesus, you need to be first, and then things will work out. It seems to be those very times that things often just go upside down. So bring that before you, because you may or may not have had that experience, and you may or may not live with that tension of the up and down and the backwards and forwards. But this is a word that is given to us at Christmas. And if we are to apply this in our lives, and I'm coming to application shortly, we will see this good tidings of great joy, not just something talked about at Christmas, but applied in our lives. Because one of the challenges of doing this is that then there is an application, there is something we must do with this knowledge of putting Jesus first in our lives. The intimacy that I referred to, but also what it is to step into the Jesus first and coming to worship him first. It means putting other things that we worship last. It means maybe arguing and looking and saying, there are things that I worship that I should not be worshiping. They may be important, but they've become something that has taken the place on the throne of my heart instead of the Lord Jesus. And maybe it's not us that is too good at knowing that. And that's where we need the second letter of the word here, O, for others. And we often need others not just to focus on after Jesus and before ourselves, but also to ask them and say, hey, my dear friend, husband, wife, those who live with me, etc., how am I doing with this stuff? If we are encouraged to behold, understand this good tidings of great joy, how is my relationship with Jesus seen through your eyes? I want to make the most of this. I want to make the most of what it is that God has in store for me. Can you just reflect back to me in a nice way? Be gentle with me. You may need to be gentle with me. And have the person that's beside you, the other, ask you, how are we doing with this? And it may be a moment for reflection. It may be a moment for celebration. But if you have the courage to do that, I would encourage that during this time, over this quiet holiday time, that we look at working on our relationship with Jesus through the eyes of others, as well as reflecting back how we might be going with that. And the last set of why is ourselves. We don't neglect ourselves completely. It comes in order. But some of us may be so busy serving others, and I'm aware that as we've had all the breakups this week, which was another thing that happened this week, I'm thinking about all of the food that was consumed and all of the celebrations that we had, that sometimes those who are being involved in those serving roles and leading roles may themselves find themselves running out of steam. So it's not that we ignore ourselves, but it comes in order. Jesus first, others, and then ourselves. And I believe that while it's a little cliche and maybe a little easy rolling off the tongue, this is a constant thing that I find that we neglect. And we say, I'll be going to church if it suits me. I'll be involved in that ministry if it suits me. I'll turn up to men's group or prayer group if it suits me. Please can I ask again, it's our final prayer meeting for the year and we had a wonderful prayer meeting last time. Let it not be prayer that's something that someone else does. Prayer, if you've not been involved on Wednesday night and can come, and I think that most workplaces, things are winding down, it would be so wonderful to have you there. Thinking about how others would benefit from our prayers. So could I encourage as we consider this application of the great joy that it involves firstly, again, Jesus first, others, and then ourselves. It may say something about the way we approach prayer too and this intimacy with Jesus. It's firstly about what can I get? And our prayer life starts with these are the things that I want. And then if I have time, I'll pray for others. And lastly, we might say, well, Jesus, what do you want? I don't know if you've maybe found that happens in your prayer life. That actually what Jesus would want us to be hearing that he would say to us may have ended up very last, and what we want may be first, and others may or may not make it in the middle. In looking and understanding joy as related to prayer and intimacy, so many times we have it round the wrong way. Is it any wonder prayer seems dry? Is it any wonder prayer seems something that we say, well, I can take it or leave it? So could I encourage us this Wednesday particularly that in order to experience joy, Jesus first, others secondly, and yourself last, is an application that we see in this passage here. And I want to finish with that today, the application of what it would look like. We see here that the shepherds were taken or prompted to go, and they went. So it was when the angels had gone away, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has been said. Let us go. The application of it is coming to meet with Jesus, coming to meet with Jesus where he is in the place that he's at. Not intending that Jesus be in the place that we want him to be and only meeting with him when he intersects with our busy lives. The application here is a real challenge for us, particularly this time of year. What is it that he might be wanting to say to us? And many times, Jesus seems to be this still, small voice, quietly waiting for us to come to him, waiting patiently. And it may be that for some of us this morning, that's not a place that we've ever come. We've understood that Jesus is there, or we may have learnt that Jesus is there to answer my prayers. He's there for me. Others may be there for me. But in understanding the application here, the shepherds were prompted and they were excited. And out of this great joy, they said, let us go to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. I want to read the last two verses of the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and these are two that we don't sing. They don't flow quite so well. They're a bit hard to sing. They're a bit challenging, and I think that maybe when it went from a hymn to a carol, I understand that the writer Charles Wesley was annoyed that these two verses got dropped out, but in popular parlance, we sing the hymns and the songs that celebrate, and rightly so. But the last two verses here speak of a challenge to us. And I think in wrapping up this two-parter on Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it's important that we understand the intent that was behind it. That also is included as we close today with this hymn and this carol. So as I read this, maybe we'd like to close our eyes and consider our response and the response that we can make to this understanding of the good tidings of great joy. And be honestly asking yourself as we sit here with eyes closed and listen to this, where am I at with this? Does this represent me? Is the response that I need to make? I won't sing it, but you can imagine the tune as I sing this here. I'll just read it out. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us your humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Now display your saving power. Ruin nature, now restore. Now in mystic union join yours to ours and ours to yours. Adam's likeness, Lord, efface, stamp your image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in your love. Let us all, though lost, regain your life, the inner man. Owe to all of us yourself impart, formed in each believing heart. Just remain with our eyes closed. This was the hymn which was sung and intended by Charles Wesley, who wrote it, to end with an appeal for those who have not formed Jesus Christ in their hearts as Lord and Saviour. And he was much grieved that many folks sung it and it became a gay, and it was so, song to be sung at Christmas, but didn't end with a challenge for those who have not had Christ formed in them. In the Bible, it talks about having Christ formed in us, and what it means by that is the very essence and the image of Christ, that we become image bearers of him. This is indeed a huge challenge, because we really want to become, by and large, image bearers of ourselves. And we believe we have something to say to the world, which is, look at us, look at me, and the world loves to promote that. But the end ultimately is destruction. And so, Father, we thank you as we've looked at your word and looked at the glory to God in the highest and understand this good tidings of great joy. Help us, we pray, in the application. It will not be easy for us if we have Christ, you, Lord Jesus, formed in us, to actually step into what it is to put you first and then others and then ourselves last. It will not be easy for us to understand what it is to develop and desire intimacy with you from here on in, if this has not been part. It will not be easy for us to pray firstly, Jesus, what do you want? And then what can I pray for others and then myself last? But Lord, we all know ultimately, in order to achieve and experience true joy, the order must be that. Prompt us if we need to make a response this morning, if we know that we're not in that place, that the Christ child that we will particularly hear about next Saturday night, or this Saturday night at the Christmas Eve service, is yet to us a story of Christmas, maybe Christmas myth in our minds, but it's not real, it's not been formed in our hearts. Help us to be bold today, to take that step, to accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour, knowing that our lives have been one of doing it ourselves. And while in this culture it's lauded as being something that is something to be magnified, I did it my way, the name for that is sin, doing things our way. Doing things your way, God, is often very opposite. So if we have sin to confess, let us lay that down right now. If we have to acknowledge that even in the outward appearance of living a Christian life, running a ministry, running a church, whatever it is that we do, that we have things to lay before you, let us be honest and courageous and do that now. So Lord Jesus, we ask as we take and make those steps that we would ask a person beside us to pray for us, or we'd come to the front or make some response today that is a definite step that we would know that on the Sunday before Christmas, 2022, we made a step towards you. And we made that step by first and foremost saying, Lord Jesus, I have not done it the way that I know you would want me to do it. I want to begin as I mean to go on in this life of intimacy with you. And we thank you for your word to us this morning, Lord Jesus. Challenge us, strengthen us, encourage us, and help us in the fellowship of believers that are here, that you never intended us to do it together. You desire us to be together, and you desire us to journey together across all the generations. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Let's stand together.